B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Hey. We're going to start the next Mishnah. Before we start the Mishnah, we have to make a short introduction. The Mishnah, as well as the next Mishnah according to Rashi, is going to discuss the preparation of food for animals. Now, we're going to be speaking about bundles of food, of fodder, of straw, and in preparation for these bundles, for the animals, there's a number of different stages. Number one, there's a stage that we're going to see in the Gemara where something was, before the preparation, the food was actually not even considered food at all. It was not ro'i l'achila, it was not meant to be eaten by animals. The preparation that will be done is actually going to make it into an edible food for the animals. And then there's another stage where it is already called animal food, but the animal can't eat it for whatever reason. Not that it wasn't animal food, it was animal food but needed to be prepared. There's another stage, and that is it could have eaten it, but there's a process one can do to improve the quality of the food and the experience the animal has when eating the food. Well, now with these bundles, there's opening up the bundles, and then there's scattering out the straw or whatever's in these bundles, scattering them out. And we're going to have to discuss the various stages, what's muta and what's osa. Generally speaking, the discussion here is how much tircha, how much effort you're allowed to put in. There's no intrinsic issa to feed an animal or to prepare food for an animal. If it's an animal that's not your responsibility to feed it, you don't need to feed it, then there could be another issue that we don't want you to put any effort in feeding an animal that's not yours. An animal that is yours, there's a discussion, how far are you allowed to go on Shabbos in order to feed it? Let's see the Mishnah inside. Matirin Pekie Omir. One's allowed to untie bundles of straw, called Omir, Lifnei Abeima, in order to make it available for the animal. Umafasfasin es hakipin. Kipin is another type of a bundle of straw, and you're allowed to scatter the bundle of straw called kipin. Avaloi es hazirin. So we've discussed three things here. We've discussed the pki, we've discussed the kipin, we've discussed the zirin. We don't really know what they are yet. The Gemara is going to discuss it. And all we know in the Mishnah is that pki matirin, one's allowed to untie those bundles. The kipin, one's allowed to scatter it. And the zirin, loy. There's something about the zirin that you're not allowed to do. That's as far as we have in the Mishnah. And we're going to discuss in the Gemara what's going on here. The next stage in the Mishnah. Ein maraskin. This is talking about the stage of shredding the food. Ein maraskin loyes hashachas veloyes hacharuvin. You're not allowed to shred, to break up into small pieces, not the animal fodder and not the carobs. Lifnei behema, bein dako or bein gasa. Irrespective of whether it's a small animal or a big animal, you're not allowed to shred the food. It's not necessary. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charuvin ledako. Rabbi Yehuda says that charuvin, which are very tough in nature, and small animals that are weaker in nature, for in order for the small animals to be able to eat the tough carobs, one's allowed to crush it for them or shred it. That's as far as the Mishnah. Let's see the Gemara. And in the Gemara, we're now going to have a machlekas Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, and there's going to be a fundamental machlekas between them. And the terms the Gemara is going to use is, number one, making something edible for an animal. And as we said before, there are two stages of that. There's taking something that was not edible for an animal at all, and you made it edible for an animal. And the stage where it is animal fodder, but it's not, the animal technically cannot eat it in the situation it's in, under the conditions it's in. You have to do something to allow the animal to eat it. And those are both going to be called, both of those stages are going to be called that shavya oichel. You're going to make it into an oichel. And there's another stage, and that is latriach, which means to exert effort to improve the food. And there's going to be a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna, is improving the food for the animal. In the event that the animal can eat it, but you can improve the animal's food, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos or not? According to Rav Yehuda, the answer is no. According to Rav Huna, the answer is yes. About making something into food, we're going to see that Rav Huna is going to say that you're not allowed to make something into food, and he's talking about something that was not edible at all for animals, and creating animal food, giving it something a new status on Shabbos, is going to be Asa. Rav Yehuda is talking about when something is animal food, but the animal cannot eat it, for whatever reason, making it possible for the animal to eat it, which is called, in Rav Yehuda's terms, Shavya Oichel. According to Rav Yehuda, one is allowed to do that on Shabbos, and only that one is allowed to do. Rav Yehuda holds that. Okay, we'll see the rest of the details in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Huna, Hein Hein Pkiin, Hein Hein Kippin. Rav Huna maintains that there's no difference between Pki and the Kippin, and the only difference is that Pkiin Trei, the bundles called Pkiin, are tied in two places in each bundle, and Kippin Tlosa, and the kippin are tied in three places. Zirin, what is zirin? Which was the third case. That's the arazi. It's talking about the parts of a cedar tree, that the moist branches of the cedar tree are pruned, and most people wait for them to dry and use it for firewood. It's not really made for animal food at all. It can be used for animal if you prepare it. So Rav Huna says that zirin, what is zirin? De arazah is these cedar, these branches of the cedar tree. V'hochik omer. And according to Rav Huna, this is how we have to read the Mishnah. Matirin pki omer lifnei behema. The Mishnah, which we said, the first thing is that pki, you're allowed to untie. Umefasfasin, and you're also allowed to, this is not a word it says in the Mishnah, the Mishnah says mefasfasin regarding the kippin, but we have to read it into the Mishnah, umefasfasin, you're also allowed to scatter, that after you've untied the piles, you're allowed to scatter the food for the animal, because food that's very tightly packed doesn't have the same aroma, and it makes it more difficult and unpleasant for the animal to eat it, you're allowed to scatter it. V'hu ha-din le-kippin. And exactly the same halachas apply to a kippin, that one's allowed to untie the bundles, even though it's three knots, or three ties, and one's allowed to spread it out. Avo lo-yes ha-zirin. What does it mean, lo-yes ha-zirin? Lo-y le-fasfes v'lo-y le-hatir. Not only are you not allowed to scatter the zirin, you're also not allowed to untie it. They're mukta, because these were slated to be used as firewood, and you're not allowed to decide on Shabbos that something that's supposed to be firewood, that you want it to be animal food, and therefore you're not allowed to do anything with it on Shabbos. Omer Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is now going to explain Rav Huna. My Talmud Rav Huna. Kosova Rav Huna holds, lemitrach, to exert effort to improve the food, bo'ichlo, torchinon. If it's already food for the animals and you want to improve it by untying the bundle, by scattering it out, you're allowed to. Leshvuya oichla. But to make something that was firewood, so to speak, and turn it into animal food, loy mashvinon, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Rashi says it's like noilad, it's like creating, it's a newly born status of animal food, and that you're not allowed to do. That was the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Yehuda Omar, Rav Yehuda says, it's not that pkiin and kippin are the same, it's just a difference whether there's two knots or three knots. No. Two ties or three ties? No. Hein hein pkiin, hein hein zirin. It's pkiin and zirin that are similar. Pkiin trei, pkiin are the bundles that are tied in two places. Zirin are tied in three places. Kippin de arazi. And the kippin, they are the ones that are these branches of that are from the cedar wood. V'hochi ko'omar. And this is how Rav Yehuda is reading the Mishnah. Matirin pki omir lifnei behema, aval fisfus eloi. When the Mishnah says that you're allowed to untie the pki, so Rav Huna says you're also allowed to scatter it. No. Says Rav Yehuda, you're only allowed to untie it, you're not allowed to scatter it. V'kipin fisfusei namu mefasusinon. However, regarding the kippin, which we said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is the arza, which is something which is not even edible for the animal, Rabbi Yehuda says, not only are you allowed to untie it, you're also allowed to spread it out. avaloi hazirin lefasfes elo lehatir. And this is the third stage in the Mishnah. The zirin, which according to Rav Yehuda is similar to the pki, so in that case loy hazirin lefasfes, you're not allowed to scatter it out as we saw with the pkin, elo lehatir. You're only allowed to untie it, and there's no difference between the pki and the zirin according to Rav Yehuda. Omar Rava. Rava is now going to try and explain Rav Yehuda. My Talmud Rav Yehuda, Kosova, he holds shavi oichlo mashvinon. In order to make it available to the animal, something that he couldn't eat before and now he can eat, you're allowed to do. Mitzrach ba'oichlo, but in order to exert effort to improve the food for the animal, loitar chinon, that you're not allowed to do. And now we're going to try and find proofs for or against Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara Tnan, we saw in the Mishnah, Ein meraskin es hashachas. One is not allowed to shred the shachas, the animal fodder, ve'es acharuvin, nor the carobs, lifnei behemo, bein dako bein gaso. Not for a big animal, not for a small animal. My love, charuvin dumya de shachas. We assume that the fact that the Mishnah puts charuvim together with shachas, that they are similar, of similar nature and texture. Ma shachas derukichi, in the same way as shachas typically is a soft type of food, af charuvin derukichi. The charuvim we're talking about are the soft textured carobs. Alma, loy torchinon boichlo. The fact that the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to shred the shachas or the charuvim, and here we're not talking about making it into food, we're talking about it is already food, but you want to make it more comfortable, you want to improve the food, and the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. That seems to conform with what Rav Yehuda says, not with what Rav Huna said. Rav Huna said to improve food, you're allowed to. So the second part of the Mishnah seems to be proof to Rav Yehuda and a contradiction to Rav Huna. Utiyuf to the Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, no. Omalacha Rav Huna will explain it as follows. Loi, no. Shechas dumi de charuvin. It's the other way around. Charuvin normally are stiff and hard fruits. And the shechas is similar to the charuvin. Ma charuvin de akushi, af shechas de akushi. The charuvim are very, very stiff and hard, and one cannot eat them without shredding them. And so too, the shachas we're talking about is a shachas that's in the same status as something that's not edible. Since it's not edible, according to Rav Huna, you're not allowed to make something that wasn't edible edible, and therefore you're not allowed to shred the shachas or the charuvim. Heicha mishkachas lo. When would you find a case where shachas has the same status as charuvim, that it's not edible if you don't break it up, you don't shred it up? Be'ili zutra. Yes, if you're trying to feed it to very young donkeys, and very young donkeys, even shachas, is if you don't break it up, if you don't be meraskin, then it will not be edible for them. Continues the Gemara. Toshema Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charuvin ledako. We saw in the Mishnah that the Chachomim, the Tanakhama, say that you're not allowed to be meraskin the shachas or the charuvin, not for the big animals, not for the small animals. And we explain that, according to Rav Yehuda, the reason that you're not allowed to do it is because it's just an improvement. And according to Rav Huna, the reason you're not allowed to do it is because we're talking about that it's not edible before being meraskin. Now let's try and understand Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda argued and said that charuvim for the use of a small animal is allowed. Let's see how we're going to understand that. Ledakoin legaso loy. From the fact that Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to break up, to shred up a charuvim for a small animal, it's clear that Rav Yehuda means to say only for a small animal, not for a big animal. So, I omrus b'shleimu tanakama sovar mitrach bo'ichlo loitar chinon, according to Rav Yehuda, that the reason the tanakama say you're not allowed to shred the shachas or the charuvin is because it's just a mere improvement, then Rav Yehuda is going to argue with the chachomim and say, no, it's not just a mere improvement. There is a case where it's integral for it to become an animal food. If it's charuvin, which is stiff in nature, and you're using it for a small animal, then for the small animal, it's called making the food available. To make the food available, according to Rav Yehuda, is allowed. So according to Rav Yehuda, we understand the position of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, and the whole argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama in the Mishnah regarding the charuvim for the shachas. According to the Tanakhama, it is edible, it's just an improvement, and therefore it's asa. But according to Rav Yehuda, it's not considered an improvement, it's called making it edible. And according to Rav Yehuda, you're allowed to make something edible for the animals to eat on Shabbos. So let's read that inside. I omris bishleimet tanakama sova mitrach ba'uchla loitor chinon. Shovi mashvinon. According to how we explain the Tanakama, according to Rav Yehuda, that the Tanakamas say that one's allowed to make food, but you're not allowed to improve the food. Hainu duka omer b'yuda. That's what Rav Yehuda is arguing and saying. Charuvim ledako. Very hard and tough carbs for a small animal. Navmi shovya oichlahu. It's also making the food available. Eloi omrus tanakama sova shovya oichlaloi mashvinon. According to how Rav Huna explained the Tanakama, that the reason you're not allowed to crush the charuvim or the shachas is because you're making it into food. Then mitrach bo oichlo matrachinon. According to Tanakama, the only thing you're allowed to do is to improve the food. That's how Rav Huna understood. And according to the Tanakama here, it's not called improving the food. It's called making the food. Therefore, it's asa. So what's Rav Yehuda going to say? Rav Yehuda is going to say it's called improving the food. It's not called making the food. It is edible even without crushing it. Well, if it's just an improvement, even just for a small animal, even more so for a big animal, it's just an improvement and not an integral necessity to make it edible for the animal. So why would he say that it's only allowed for a small animal and not for a big animal? Rav Yehuda de matir b'charuvin ledako, which according to Rav Huna would have to mean that he says it's just a mere improvement, culture kein legasa, then of course for the big animal who's got more strength to eat it, it's considered a mere improvement and not considered a fundamental step in making it edible. Answers the Gemara, mi sovras dako, dako mamush, mai dako, gasa. The truth is that Rav Yehuda allows them to crush the charuvim even for a big animal, because he says that not only for a small animal, but even more so for a big animal, it's only considered an improvement. It's not considered making it edible. So why does he say that you're only allowed to do it for a dako, for a small animal? He says dako doesn't mean a small animal. Dako just means umai korile dako de daiko boichlo. Any animal that chews its food, you don't need to shred it up, because even if you don't shred it up, it is edible because it chews the food itself. And therefore, the crushing it, the being meraskin, is not more than an improvement. According to Rav Huna, even any animal that chews the food, then the food, the crushing it, is just a mere improvement. And according to Rav Huna, to improve food, one is allowed to do that. And that's what Rav Yehuda said. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. You're allowed to crush the charuvim for any animal that otherwise would chew it, which is a small animal and a big animal. Asks the Gemara, Homidikton Yuresha bein dako bein gaso. From the fact that the Tanakama in the Mishnah used the term dako and gaso, meaning a big animal, a small animal, Nechlal Rabbi Yehuda dako, dako mamash komar. Then we would assume that when Rabbi Yehuda uses the word dako, he doesn't mean any animal that is daika that chews. It means a small animal. Kashya, and then the question comes back, according to Rav Huna, how are we going to understand the Mishnah? If the Tanakama say it's asa, according to Rav Huna, it must be the reason it's asa is because it's called creating food. If Rabbi Yehuda says that it's mutar by charuvim, it must be it's just an improvement. If it's just an improvement for a thin, small animal, even more so it should be mutar for a big animal, which is even more edible for the big animal than for the small animal. And that's a question which we haven't got an answer to. Continues the Gemara, Toshima. Mechatchin esadluin lifnea behema. One is allowed to cut gluin, which is a type of vegetable, and put it for a behema. Ve'es hanavela lifnea klovim. And the corpse of dead animal is allowed to be cut up and put in front of the dogs on Shabbos. My love, deluin domir de nevela. We assume that deluin is of similar nature and texture to nevela. Deluin is typically a very hard vegetable. Nevela, meat, is typically soft. The fact that we put the two together, we're obviously understanding that the deluin is talking about soft deluin, like nevela is soft. Ma nevela derekicha, af deluin derekichi. Alma. That means if it's soft, if it's a soft nature, it's edible even if you don't cut it up. So if you cut it up, all you're doing is improving it. And what do we see here? That you're allowed to cut it up, which means you're allowed to improve it. Alma tarchinon bo'ichla. So we see from here that one is allowed to engage in just improving food for the animals, and that conforms with Rav Yehuda's understanding, utiyuvta de Rav Yehuda. It will be a question on Rav Yehuda who says that you're not allowed to ever improve a food item, you're just allowed to make it edible for the animal. Omer l'cha Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda will explain as follows. Loi, nevela dumya d'dluin. Why are you assuming that we're talking about soft d'dluin, like nevela is soft? No, we're talking about that it's not edible. It's like hard d'dluin. If you don't cut it up, the animals cannot eat it. And the meat also, we'll soon see what that means, but the meat also is very hard. And if you don't cut it up, it's not edible for the animal. And therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, since you're making it edible, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Ma deluin de ashuni, in the same way as deluin are very tough, af nevela de ashuna. Nevela is also talking about that it's tough, and therefore you have to make it edible for the animal by cutting it up. And according to Rav Yehuda, that's muta. Ve'icha mishkach hasla, where do you find that meat is considered not edible if you don't cut it up? B'bosor pili, we're talking about the meat of an elephant, which is very, very coarse and tough meat. Inami or beguriasa zutra, we're talking about small puppies. For small puppies, even regular meat, which is relatively soft compared to dluin, if you do not cut it up, it's not edible. Continues the Gemara Tnan Toshima. Detoni revchonon minarado. Mefarchinon, one's allowed to cut up teven, straw, v'asfasot do, and other animal fodder, umma arvin, and you're allowed to mix it together. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Alma torchinon bo'ichlo. We assume that teven and aspasto, which is mixed together, we assume that it's edible, and you're allowed to mix them together because mixing it together improves the eating for the animal. Why are you allowed to do that? According to Rav Yehuda, you're not allowed to improve the food. You're only allowed to make it edible. We understand very well. Alma torchinon bo'ichlo. You see from here, one's allowed to exert effort in order to improve the food. How's Rav Yehuda going to explain this? Answers the Gemara, teven betivno sario. The type of teven, the type of straw that we're talking about, is talking about where it's spoilt teven, and therefore if you don't mix it together with the aspasto, then it's not edible. The animal won't eat it. And aspasto is talking about be'ili zutra, for the very young donkeys. And a young donkey, we cannot eat this aspasto unless you mix it together with the teven. And therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, it's called making it edible for the animal. Making it edible is muta. Since these young donkeys cannot eat the aspasto without it being chopped up, therefore, you're allowed to chop up and you're allowed to mix it together with the teven. All these are stages that are integral to make the food edible for these donkeys. According to Rav Yehuda, you're allowed to do that. Says the next Mishnah. And according to Rashi, it seems that this Mishnah is a continuation from the previous Mishnah, where the discussion is how much effort are you allowed to exert in feeding your animals. And we're going to be speaking about a camel, about an egel, which is a calf. We're going to be speaking about tarnagoilim, chickens and other birds. Now, there's different ways of feeding an animal. You could just put the food in front of it, let it eat on its own. That's one stage. There's another stage, which is a little bit more involved than that, and that is putting food into its throat. You're forcing food into its throat, and even there's two stages. You can force it in a way that the animal still has some control, whether he wants to swallow it or wants to spit it out. Or if you're exerting so much effort that you're forcing it down its throat to the point that the animal has no control of whether he's going to swallow it or not. And then you've got another stage, which is even more stuffing the animal, which is even more force, and in the field of force feeding an animal. So we'll have to see what these various stages are. The Mishnah says, "Ein oiv sines agomel." You're not allowed to stuff a camel. V'loy dorusin, nor you're allowed to force feed it. Aval malitin, you're allowed to put the food into its throat. That's as far as the camels are concerned. And now we're moving to the calves. V'ein ma'amirin es agolim. Ma'amirim for calves is the same as the oivsin and the dorusim, the force feeding of the camels. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Aval mal'itin, again, the same as we saw mal'itin with the camels, you're putting food into his throat, you're allowed to do the same for the calves. And now we're moving to the tarnagolim, the chickens. Umahalakdin, which is similar to mal'itin, which is putting the food into his throat, you're allowed to do that for the tarnagolim, because the halochas are the same, it's just a different term. But mal'itin for the camels, mal'itin for the calves, and malakdin, the mahalkatin, sorry, those are all the same stage, the same amount of effort, and they are mutter. The noisnin mayim lemurson was allowed to put water into their brand, the bran, avaloi govlin, but you're not allowed to knead the bran with the water. The ein noisnin mayim lifne dvorim, you're not allowed to put water to make available for the bees. The lifne yoinim shabashoivach, nor for the doves in the dovecote. You are allowed to put water in front of the geese or the taranagolim, the chickens. A certain type of dove called yoine hardisios, you're allowed to put water in front of them. And we're going to try and understand this in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, "My ein oivsin." We started the Mishnah saying there's a stage called oivsin, which means to stuff a camel. You're not allowed to stuff a camel on Shabbos. Omar of Yehuda, ein oisin lo evus betoich me'eho. You're not allowed to fill up its stomach as you would fill up a trough, which is a huge amount of food. Mi'ika ki hai gavna, is it possible to force an animal to eat that much? Says the Gemara, in it is. Ukud Omar of Yirmiyah midifta, ledidi chozili, he says, I saw hahu taya, this Arab merchant, de ochlo kuro, it made the camel eat a whole kur of food. And afterwards, va'atino kura, he then piled on top of the animal, he loaded on top of it another kur, provisions for the journey along the way. So you see that it made the animal eat to the extent that his stomach bloated and looked like it was a trough full of food. That's how Rav Yehuda explains this. Continues the Gemara, ein ma'amirin, the parallel to oivsin, to the oivsin and the dorusin of the camel, we have by the calves, we've got ma'amirin, that you're not allowed to fatten the calves. And that's also, asks the Gemara, ezuhi hamro'o, ezuhi hal'oto. The Mishnah says that ma'amirin, you're not allowed to do, but mal'itin, like we saw with the camel, so too with the calves, you're allowed to do. What's the difference between the two technically? What does it mean? Omer of Yehuda, here we're going to have a machloikus Rav Yehuda and Rav Chisda, a fundamental machloikus that's going to take us right through the sugya. Rav Yehuda says, Hamra, which is osa, is lemokim she'eino yecholo laharzir. If you're forcing it into its throat to the point that it has no choice and it's going to have to swallow it. It cannot choose to spit it back out. And that's osa. Hal'ota, which is muta, is lemokim sheichaylo la'achzir, is if you're stuffing it into its throat, but only to the point that the animal can still choose to spit it out, should it want to. That's what Rav Yehuda says. Rav Chisda Omar. Rav Chisda argues the Rav Yehuda, and says, idi v'idi lemokim sheino yichaylo la'achzir. Both the ma'amiron and the mal'iton, both of them, it cannot choose to spit it back out. And nonetheless, there's a difference. Mamirin is osa, and mal'itin is muta. What's the difference between them? Hamra bikli, when you're using a tool, some type of utensil, in order to get the food down its throat, then that amount of effort is osa. Hal'ota, but is biyad, but when you're just pushing the food into its mouth with your hands, that is muta. That's how Rav Chisda explains the difference between Mam'irin and Hal'ota. Mosiv Rav Yosef. We can ask now a question from a Braisa. It says, Mahalkatin letarnagoylim. And we saw that in our Mishnah. Mahalkatin letarnagoylim, you're allowed to force feed chickens. Ve'ein tzorech loymar shemalkitin. And even more so, you're allowed to do malkitin, which is even less effort than mahalkatin. Ve'ein malkitin leyoyne shoivach or leyoyne aliyah. But those doves that are called Yoine Shovach, the doves in the dovecote, or the doves in the attic, those you're not allowed to even do Malkitin, which is little effort. Ve'in Tarech Leimah she'ein Mahalkitin, and it goes without saying, you're not allowed to force feed them, you're not allowed to do Mahalkitin. That's what it says in the Braisa. Let's try and understand. My Mahalkitin, Umay Malkitin. What is Mahalkitin? What is Malkitin? Now we are taking it for granted that Mahalkitin is the same as Malitin that's been mutter till now. So Ilema, are you going to say, which is how Rav Yehuda explained till now, that Mahalkitin means Dasofi Lebi Yodaim? Mahalkitin, which is the same as Malitin, and according to Rav Yehuda, that means that you're just pushing it in, you're forcing it with your hands into its mouth, but not to the point that it cannot spit it out. No, it still has the choice of being able to spit it out. Then that's muta. Malkitin is the shodile kamayu. So what if mahalkitin, according to Rav Yehuda, means that you're putting it into its throat and it can spit it out? Then what's malkitin, which is even less effort than that? It must be the shodile kamayu, where you're just putting food in front of it. Asks the Gemara, if so, if that's the pshat according to Rav Yehuda, michlal, then it would seem from there, because the Braisa said that the yoyne shevach v'yoyne aliyah. We said that regarding the yoyne shevach and yoyne aliyah, we'll soon have to understand in the Gemara later why they're different. And the Gemara is going to say it's because you have less responsibility to take care of them. But at this point, right, the yoyne shevach v'yoyne aliyah, mishde kamayu nami loy. It means that even malkitin, you're not allowed to do. What, you're not allowed to just put food down in front of them? Why not? It doesn't make sense. There's no effort involved. El olav, it must be, like Rav Chisda said, that mahalkitin, that the stage of mahalkitin, which is called the mal'iton in the Mishnah, is lemokim she'eino yecheilo lahachzir. We said that the different, according to Rav Chisda, the difference between ma'amiron and mal'iton is that the mamiron, which is also as if you stuff it in with a kli, and malitin, which is the mahalkitin of the chickens, that's if you're sticking it into a place where it cannot choose to spit it back out, and you're doing it just with your hands. So, and then if so, malkitin, the next stage down, which is less effort than mahalkitin, what is that? You're stuffing it into its mouth to the point that it can spit it back out. And therefore we can understand there's a certain amount of effort there, and you're not allowed to do that to the Yoine Shevach, the Yoine Aliyah. Michlal, the Hamra Bekli. So it must, and then it must be, if Malkitin means that you're forcing it into its throat to the point that it can still spit it out, and the Hilkatin, which is the Mal'iton, means that it cannot spit it out, then it must be that Ma'miron, which is also in the Mishnah, is that it can't spit out, and you're doing it with a Kli, which is how Rav Chisda learns. Utyuvtud Rav Yehuda, how's Rav Yehuda going to explain this? Omer Lecha Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda will explain as follows. La'olam Mahalkatin Desafi Le'biyudayim. Even mahalkitin, which is the mal'itin in the Mishnah, which is allowed, is you're not exerting enough effort that it cannot spit it out. No, it can spit it out. You're just putting it into its mouth. Then malkitin, and what's malkitin mean, which is the stage less effort than that? It must be the shodilei kamayu, you're just putting it in front of them. You asked a question, if for all chickens, you're allowed to put it in front of them, there's no effort involved, but to the Yoine Shevach and Yoine Aliyah, you're not even allowed to do that. Or the Kukashi Lecha Yoine Shevach v'Yoine Aliyah lemish de kamayu nami loy. That why should you not be allowed to just put the food down in front of them? There's no effort involved. Yes, hani mezonoi son olecha. A regular tarnagoilim, it's incumbent on you to feed them, so you're allowed to do that. The honey, but the yoine shevach and the yoine aliyah, ein mezonei son alecha, they don't need you for their sustenance. They go around, they have plenty of food available. You're not allowed to do anything to feed them. Kedetanya, as we saw in the Braisa, noisnin mezoinis lifnei kelev, you're allowed to give food to a dog, because a dog is always hungry and never has enough food. V'ein noisnin mezoinis lifnei chazir, but you're not allowed to put food in front of a pig on Shabbos, because it doesn't need your food, it's always got plenty of food. Or ma hefresh ben zeh lezeh, what's the difference between those two? Zeh mezoinis avalecha, for regarding a dog, it's incumbent on you to feed it. And a pig, not only does it not need you, you're not supposed to feed it, you're not supposed to be growing. And pigs, we already saw that the Gemara says that there's a curse to anybody that is megadil chazerim. Omer Ravashi, masnisan nami daika. We can even bring proof to this from our Mishnah. You're not allowed to put even water in front of bees or in front of yoinim shebashoivach. But you're allowed to put it in, give water to the geese and to the chickens. Why? What's the difference between the two? Lav, mishum dehani mezoinos avolecha. The case of the geese and the chickens, you're the one responsible to feed them, you have to give them the water. Vehani, but those cases in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to, for example, the bees or the yoinim shebashevach, ein mezoinos avolecha, they don't need you to get their food, their water, and therefore you're not allowed to feed them. Says the Gemara, uleta meich. According to how you're understanding, that the reason you're not allowed to put water in front of the bees or in front of the yoinei shevach is because it's not incumbent on you to take care of their nourishment. Why does the Mishnah say you're not allowed to put food and water in front of them? Wheat and barley, you're also not allowed to put in front of them. Food also not. Why only water? Elo shani maya deshchicha ba'agma. Don't really bring proof from the Mishnah. It could be the Mishnah is talking about, the Mishnah says you are allowed to feed even those animals that could find, somehow could find their food. But water, which is so common, you find it in the pond, there's so much of it around, it's totally unnecessary to exert any effort to give them water, and therefore water is different. But food, you're allowed to. However, according to the way we explained before, according to Rav Yehuda, those animals that don't need you for their food, you're not allowed to give them food. Continues the Gemara. Dorash Rabbi Yoino apischa de bein nesia. Rabbi Yoino, he was darshaning, he was giving a shir at the home of the entrance of the bein nesia, the Rosh Hashiva. Maidich siv, it says in the Pasuk, Yoidea tzadik, Hashem, who is the righteous one, knows din dalim, the suffering of the poor. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Yodea Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem knows bekelev, that regarding the dogs, Shem Zaynesav Mu'otim, his food is very meager. Lefikach Shoyhe Achilose, that's why Hashem specially created that dogs, the food stays in their stomachs. Gimel Yomim, the food they get stays in the stomachs for 3 days. Kedetnan, as we saw in the Mishnah, Kamo Tisha Achilose B'me'ov Yeitome bekelev, if a dog eats a kazayis of a dead person. So all the while the dog is alive, then the dead person is absorbed, so to speak, is balua in a live animal, there's no tumor from it. The second the dog dies, in the event that the tumor of the dead person is still whole, it will have all the halachas of a tumas mace. The question is, how long after a dog eats this kazayis, if the dog dies, do we now say that the kazayis of the mace is still whole and it can has all the halachas of tumas mace? Says the Mishnah, Gimel Yomim Eis Leis, a full period of 3 days, 3 times 24 hours. Uba'oifois, uba'dogim, however, regarding fish and birds, Kadesha Tipoi Le'ur V'tisarif, it just stays in their stomachs as long as it would take to drop it into the fire and it would get totally burnt up, which is not very long. Why did Hashem make this for this miracle or this difference for the dogs, that the food stays in their stomachs for 3 days? Because Hashem knows that a dog has very meager food. Omer v'amnuna, Shema Mino, from here we see, Oirech Aro le'mijda umtze le'kalva. It's fair and it's right to feed dogs with meat, And some say that this is talking about Shabbos, others say it's just in the week. V'kamo, how much meat should you give a hungry dog? Omer of Mary, moshach udnei, the size of its ears, just a small piece of meat. And v'chutra, take a stick straight away abasrei after you give it the meat and chase it away. Why? Because if you don't chase it away, it's going to start following you, it's going to tag onto you, you won't be able to get rid of it. It's obviously not talking about your own dog. Hanemili bedabra, and this is only true in a desert, in a non-populated area. Aval b'masa, but in a city, lo, you shouldn't give it any food at all. The also lemisrach, because it's going to come and tag onto you, you won't be able to get rid of it. Omar of Papa, lest the anyom mikalba, there's nobody who's as poor as a dog, who always feels he doesn't have enough to, who doesn't have enough to eat. The less the otter, there's nobody who feels as rich, michazera, as a swine, as a pig, because he can eat anything, he's totally unfussy, and everybody's giving him food all the time, and he's rich, he feels rich. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kavaseda Rav Yehuda. We're going to bring a brisa now that is proof to Rav Yehuda's understanding of these halachas. Ezuhi hamra, the case of hamra, which we said in the Mishnah, ein ma'mirin it's osa. Ve'ezui halata, and what is called mal'itin, which the Mishnah said was muta. Hamra is marbitza. The hamra means that you force the animal to kneel down, ufeikus espiha, and you force the animal's mouth open, umachila, and you feed it karashinim, which is animal food, umayim, with water, bavas achas, mixed together. And when you do that, the animal has no choice other than to swallow it. It cannot spit it out. Halota. What's halota? Ma'achila mu'umad. The animal is standing. It's not kneeling down. U'mashke mu'umad. And you give it to drink when it's standing up. V'noisnin karshinim bifnei atzmo. And you feed it the karshinim on its own. U'mayim bifnei atzmo. And water on its own. And that is halota. And when you feed an animal that way, then it's not going to be able to be forced to the extent that it cannot spit it out. And that it can still spit it out. And it was Rav Yehuda that said the mal'itin means that the animal can still spit it out. According to Rav Chisda, mal'itin also means it cannot spit it out. The difference between mal'itin and ma'amirin was only whether you used a tool for it, whether you used some spoon for it. But according to Rav Yehuda, the mal'itin is that it cannot, you cannot force it to the extent that it can't spit it out. We have a braisa like Rav Yehuda. In the next shir, we're going to continue the next Gemara.